All right, guys, if you guys would do me the favor of turning in your Bible to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 41. Isaiah, chapter 41. Before we get too far into it, I just want to tell you this, guys. I mean, this is, wow, I keep squeaking. I don't know why. Let's blame it on the mic. I don't know what it is. I had some water. I think I'm all right. But before we get into it, I'm just really excited. Maybe that's why I'm squeaking. I'm just really excited for this word. I've had the privilege to preach here a few times now, and there's just something special about this time that I'm with you guys tonight. There's just, it's been on my heart for a while. A few weeks ago, Pastor Luke had mentioned, hey, just Pastor Joseph's going to have his baby, so this weekend, keep it open, you know, start to meditate on something. And I did. I went to prayer about that, and God just gave me something that's just been building up and building up. And so tonight, I am very excited for this word, because it is something that is dear to my heart, something that I've been going through, especially on the week that you're preaching. Anyone know that on the week that you're going into something or that you have something big coming up, it seems like it's just like the pressure comes on. And so I know that where I'm at, and I know that there's a lot of you it's where a lot of you are at today. So I'm just very excited, and I just hope that you guys open your hearts and your ears to what God would say to you guys today. That being said, Isaiah 41, verse number 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, the title of today's message is Not Too Late. Not Too Late. And what we're going to be talking about by the meaning of not too late is that, I don't know about you guys, but as young adults, and I think I've mentioned it before, this is a very unique time, stage, season of our lives. You know, from 18 to 28, it's a broad range. It's 10 years, but it's all years of being young, but it's a lot can happen in 10 years. A little bit about myself. At 18 years old, I graduated from high school, went on to university. I went to UC Riverside. Any Highlanders in here? I know we got some. That's right. I knew there was people, but I just had to shout that out because I wanted to represent. But anyways, I went straight to college. I did 4 years, graduated, and then I studied abroad for a semester. After I graduated, I went to Mexico and studied abroad and practiced my Spanish and mostly other things, but not my Spanish. But that was the time, you know, I was 22 years old. Wait, did that? Like, no, like I was just kind of being abroad, you know, like, anyways. I was, because you take classes, and but I wasn't, you only take a little bit of classes, that's what I meant. I was just kind of engulfing myself in the culture, digging the hole, guys, sorry. Okay, but that being said, so I'm 22 years old, come back, and then it's like, okay, it's time to get a job. You know, you graduated college, that's what you do, get a job. So I got a job. Actually, I was blessed to have, well, I had a job first. I went to move to Hollywood. Not to be an actor or anything like that. I had a sales job. I was doing a business-to-business sales, walking business-to-business, kind of just being a solicitor. That was kind of a sucky job. But it taught you a lot. You know, you're kind of on your feet all day, and I was just walking a lot, and I was like, man, I need to get back to God, man. This is not what I want to be doing. And I called a family friend of mine, Pastor Joel, who's on staff here in the restoration ministry. And he's like, hey, man, I've been saved and coming to church, by the way. This isn't like, oh, go from the world to like working at the church. That's not what it was. Although Pastor Luke thought that. Because Pastor Luke had a song. He's like, since when do we hire people that don't even go to our church? Like, man, I've been going to this church for 6 years at the time, you know? But anyway, so I started working at The Rock with Pastor Joel, and, you know, been coming to Shift ever since. And so here I am. Now I'm 29. So that's kind of my 10 years. And you guys are at various places in your 10 years, 11, 12, 13 plus years. It's okay to be over 28. But in that time, in that journey, there was I bring that up to say there was a set thing of what I thought I had to do, you know, graduate high school. Some of you haven't done that. That's fine. I did that, and then I went to college, and then I get a job, and then, you know, just kind of got married. I have a son, and hoping to get a home, and, you know, just these steps that we kind of set in our lives. And the reason why I titled the message Not Too Late is because, I don't know about you guys, man, but sometimes I just feel like I'm just not at the place where I thought I would be. I'm not at the place that maybe I thought I wanted to be. And we didn't have a 10-year high school reunion that we were supposed to, but I guess the committee didn't put it together. I was on the committee, but anyways, they didn't put it together. So we didn't have a 10-year reunion, but I think we kind of think like, oh man, at my 10-year reunion, I want to have a good job. I want to be making money. I want to have a fine wife or husband. I want to have a nice car, a nice home. I just want it to be perfect so I can rub it in everybody's face. I don't know if that's what you guys thought, but that's some of the things I thought. I have a few of those, right, babe? Just kidding. Just kidding. Anyways, I have one of them at least. I don't know. Oh, good job. I have a son. You know, I have, and everybody, we don't need to go into that. But, you know, there's disappointments in our life. You know, we have some shortcomings. We have some failures. We've set some goals, and we have not accomplished a lot of goals. We've had some ideas of things we wanted to do, and we didn't do a lot of those things that we wanted to do. Things haven't always panned out the way we wanted them. And the thing about these formative years of young adulthood is that we think that, oh man, this is the time that I got to be getting my stuff together to lay the foundation for the rest of my life. But the problem is, for those of us who maybe aren't where we want to be, that can be a little hard to swallow, because then we think, man, my foundation's messed up. My time came and went, and it didn't go how I wanted. That means the rest of my life is messed up. So there's people in the house tonight that you guys are on that end, maybe on the older end, that things haven't gone the way you wanted. And maybe some of you tonight on the younger end, just looking forward to some things, and you're establishing your goals. And maybe some of you are in the middle, where you've set your goals and some things are going well for you, but there's still not that contentment. Or maybe you are, you're happy where you're at, and that's fine and dandy, but what we want to talk about today is that there's more that God wants. You guys believe that tonight? Yeah. And so going into that, we want to talk about it's not too late. And I have 3 points that I'm going to talk to you about tonight, and they're quick and they're easy to remember, and they're going to be good for us to remember why it's not too late, regardless of what kind of circumstances we come in with tonight. And the number one reason why it's not too late, and that why we have to know it's not too late, is because the Lord is with me. I am not alone. We are not alone, guys. You guys are not alone. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe you felt alone. Maybe you don't have family and friends. Maybe you're not from this area. Maybe you've had people let you down. Or maybe things, you guys have a full life, but you still feel alone. There's no one that can relate to you. There's no one, you know, you're surrounded by people yet still alone. You know, that whole kind of thing. You guys are not alone. Again, that's just not my thought. It's not just a sweet thought. The Word of God says it. So let's go ahead and go to that. Everyone knows the famous chapter, Psalms 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me, I don't even have it memorized. I wish I did. Most people do. I don't. Is that okay? But of that chapter, verse number 4 has always stood out to me. It's a, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Guys, though we walk through tough seasons, though we walk through tough times, and it doesn't even seem like it's a season, it's not a season when it's just how it is, right? It is, you know, seasons end. So if we have a time when we just, that's just how life has been, if life has just always been hard, it's not something that you grew out of or grew into, that's just been your life. You know, you didn't have a dad, you didn't have a mom, you just always not had enough finances or relationships, or you've always come up short. That's not a season for you. That's just life as you know it. And that can be something that seems like your reality, and you can seem alone through all of that. But we have to stand on the promises of God. If the promises of God aren't true, then nothing is. If we can't stand on the promises of God, if we can't stand on the Word of God, there's nothing out there that's real, guys. And the fact is that we can. And even if we feel alone, despite feeling alone, it could seem like, oh, it's easy for you, Antonio, to read the Bible and be comforted that you haven't gone through what I've gone through. Or you haven't felt the emotion that I felt. The reality is, I have not. I'll tell you the truth. Maybe I haven't. I don't know what you're personally going through. But I can tell you, tried and true, through my life testimony, through the testimony of my wife, through the testimony of family and friends, that the Word of God holds up. Amen? So, another verse that I want to get into to you guys tonight is Hebrews chapter 13. And you don't have to go there with me just quite yet, but it's one of those things. I remember as a little kid, you know, I had the privilege of growing up in church, and I was one of those kids. I was a Royal Ranger in the Assemblies of God. Those Royal Rangers, like Christian equivalent to Boy Scouts. Any Royal Rangers out there? No? You know, never heard of Royal Rangers? Yeah, to see Royal Rangers. Okay, see, I grew up in AG Church, and we had Royal Rangers, and that was cool. I was a Buckaroo and then a Pioneer. It was just kind of like the Boy Scouts, but it was Christians. We were cool. But anyways, I had the privilege of growing up in church, and so maybe I didn't always memorize scripture, the chapter and verse and so forth, but I remember this thought that I always kept in my heart, that I always kept without even thinking I was being holy or spiritual, but it's just something that stuck in me, that the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. So even in those times that I felt alone, even there was times that I felt scared, that I felt afraid of what was going on or uncertain, because we all have uncertainties in our life. You know, even when we stand, you know, we have a solid job, we have a solid relationships in our life, there's just always uncertainties. Remember, I was going to college with a friend of mine, and she lost her dad when she was going in school. Now, a lot of people, I'd had a couple other situations similar to that where just devastation happened in their family, and they had no choice but to withdraw from college, and they couldn't continue going to university. But this girl, her dad died, and her dad was the breadwinner, and he paid for her college, and he was paying for her college, and she just wasn't going to be able to school. But she knew that that's what she was supposed to be doing. She knew that that's what she had to do. So devastation came in her home, but she just had to stay. And she's like, I'm going to do the college. This is what my dad would want me to do. This is what I know I'm supposed to do. So she kind of just went with that alone. The verse I'm talking about, excuse me for going a little bit to the side, but the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. The Lord will never leave me nor forsake you. And it is stuck in my heart. And even if I didn't remember the chapter and verse, and I would just put it in my heart whenever those things were going on, the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. Now, leave me, we all know what leave means. But the definition of forsake, I was like, what's, you know, it's adding. He's adding what the Lord will never leave nor forsake. Well, the definition of forsake here is talking about, let's see, I want to get it right. Abandon, renounce, or reject. Now, abandon or reject and renounce. Like, renounce is like, I don't, like, disowning. Like, I don't even, like, don't even look at me. You just don't belong to me. Get out of here. I want nothing to do with you. So, you know, the world would do that. See, because he could have said, hey, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. That could be enough. But he said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you, nor reject you, nor renounce you. Because the world will kick you, and then the world will kick you while you're down, right? But Jesus is not, he wanted to make a point here. I really believe that there was a reason why he would say, I won't leave you. That's a good enough word. That will suffice, right? I'm not going to leave you. Okay, I get what you mean by that, but I'm not going to do any of that. I'm not going to leave you or throw you aside. I'm not going to beat you up when you're already down. I'm going to support you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to care for you. My rod and my staff, they will comfort you. Amen? Guys, we serve a God that is not in it. He's not just watching from above through our suffering, through our confusion, through our chaos. This is a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. Number two tonight, guys. You guys okay with me?
Yeah.
It's not too late, guys. It's not too late in our life. Number two is because he empowers me. It's not too late in your life to set goals. It's not too late in your life to have visions and dreams of what you want to become of your life. See, but the thing is, we can be so discouraged by what has already happened. And you know, this is something that we talk about all the time. This isn't a new idea. Oh yeah, don't be discouraged. Life moves on. I've heard that, right? We hear that all the time. But the idea is, guys, is that those things, the enemy will try to distract you with failures. And sometimes it's not even your fault. You can't, if you point back to the reason of a failure, it's like, man, it wasn't even me this time, but it happened. Life just happened. Like, it's not even something I did. I was doing right. I was going to church. I was doing better. I broke up with that guy. I broke up with that girl. I got rid of those friends. And life still happens. Why? That's when we feel the most alone, because at least we felt when we were in our comfort zone that things were going well, right? We could make sense of them. But here I am. I've given my life to Christ. I've surrendered. I thought I'm doing the right thing, and failure still happens. Goals still get crushed. But he empowers us to do what he's called us to do. That's how we know we're not alone, because he empowered us. Let me show you how. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, Paul's writing, and he's quoting what Jesus said, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Anyone ever tried P90X or Insanity or lifting or anything like that? You guys know that. Okay, so P90X or Insanity, they all have these crazy reps, right? So it's like, okay, there's like the different cycles of things that you're going through, right? So one of them is like the little hip kick thing right here, right? And so you have like these reps or sets, or even like if you're bench pressing, let's go more macho, and then the little hip kick. But okay, the little bench press. So I'm going to do 3 sets of 10. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start off with the 45s, the plates, and then I'm going to put on quarters, and then I'm going to add on dimes, and then we're going to be putting up 185, right? Okay, so here we go. All right, so let's just go back. I think more people will get that. Let's just go back to that. I just had to sound macho for a second. Now I can go back. Now it's okay. All right, so here are with the hip kicks. We all know in the first set, you're just pumping out. You're like, man, this is easy. I'm not even breaking a sweat. But we know by the last time, the last reps of the last set, you're just like, ugh. It's just taking everything to get those last kicks up there. You know, I just thought of this idea because it's always on those last reps. It's always on those last sets when we're our weakest, when we don't have enough energy. Man, that's when God's saying, that's when I'm strong. That's when I step in. That's when I finish the rest of the way. I think God's just like, are you done yet? Are you done yet trying to do it yourself? Are you done yet trying to take control of your life? Are you done yet trying to take what I gave you and try to plan it out your own life? Because we always hear, God's will, your way is wrong, right? So God's will, you try to run it with it your way. God's saying, look, it's not even strong until I step in. So move aside. I'm going to empower you to do it, and we're going to get it done. Amen? Get her done. Get her done. Get her done. Another verse. Another famous verse is a powerful verse. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Empowerment, guys. Empowerment. God has a plan for your life. God has a will for your life. He knows everything that you guys came in here with. Some of you guys are coming in here with some heaviness, with some brokenness, being lost. Some of you guys are coming in happy. Good man, I'm going good with God. I've been going strong. I'm reading my word every day. I'm getting into the word. I'm just growing so much closer to God. So we're all at different places. We're all at different places. But one thing that doesn't change is that he's empowered you to do what you're doing. He knows where you're at. He's empowered you for the next step, for the next day, for the next week, for the next season of your life. Because the thing is, you know that when someone announces that they're pregnant, it's a reminder to maybe someone that was trying to get pregnant that they're not. Or when someone has a baby, that they don't have a baby. When someone's getting married, that their marriage failed. People are in different seasons of your life, but God empowers us for each of them. And I don't mean it to bring it up in a negative way, but the reality is that we're all going to be in different seasons. That's why we don't judge each other in our seasons, because when you're, you know, I remember Pastor Jim was talking about, in reference to the economy, you know, that the economy breathes in and breathes out. You know, when someone's taking a breath in, they're in the rough part of their life. So someone else might be like thriving and living, and someone's getting a house, someone just is going through bankruptcy. And we can look at our fellow Christians that are in different seasons of our life and get even more discouraged by that. But guys, he's empowered us, he's empowered you to get through your hardship just like he's empowered the next person to get through theirs. He's empowered them to get through their good season. Because it's by his strength anyways, right? It was his strength that got them to that good season. It was his strength that got them through that bad season. We've been empowered, guys. We have a powerful God that's given us the power to stomp out on serpents and scorpions and not get hurt, guys. He was talking to his disciples and he was telling them how they're going to do mighty things in his name. He was telling them their assignment that was going to happen after he left and the thing that he had called them to do. He was leaving it on his disciples. He was leaving it on us as Christians to spread his word. And you think that he's going to give you an assignment and not give you more than enough to get it done? The assignment that he gave was to tell the rest of the world about him. Now, you think he's going to lay such a heavy responsibility not thinking that you could do it or not giving you the power to do it in the first place? Guys, he is not surprised by any of your situations, although someone else might be. We hear the gas that Christians, sometimes we can be real good at the whole gas thing, right? When we're sharing with somebody else, we're thinking we're talking to a fellow Christian and we're telling them about the situation we've got in our life and we go, I've dealt with this. I've dealt with that. and we're surprised by people's things. God is not surprised by any of our situations. God, I mean, and it can be, that's a bummer sometimes, right? Like, we want someone to empathize with us. Because a lot of us have ugliness, man. Some people have addictions and things that are just not pretty to talk about, or secrets and dark pasts that they don't know how to talk about. And as fellow Christians, we don't always know how to hear it. But God knows exactly where you're at, and God's going to empower you to get to where He needs you to be. Amen. Amen. Last point for tonight, guys. I told you to be quick. Number three. This is my favorite one, man. I just got really excited. Like, oh yeah, this is some good stuff. He finishes what he starts. Amen. He finishes what he starts. Now, I'm not much of a singer. Babe, you'll have to forgive me, but I'm going to try to do a little tune. He finishes what he starts. Now, let me just get a little clap. He who began a good work in me. He who began a good work in you. He is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to complete it. He who started the work, He is faithful to complete it in you. Woo! Now, see, I like the old school songs, right? See, the old school songs, the thing about the, and I'm just going to go on a little rabbit trail real quick. The old school songs, I didn't even realize when I was a little kid and memorizing all these songs. They were talking about the Word, man. It was the Word of God. It was just straight Bible, right? It was just like, it was not like pretty lyrics, poetic and nice and like really cool. Like a lot of the modern songs, which are cool. I like modern songs. It's all good. But the thing is like I would sing old songs and I didn't even know I was speaking the Bible over my life. He who began a good work, man, he is faithful. Let's go over the verse, because it's in the Bible, man. It's not a song. Everyone like my singing? I was trying to bust it back, Pastor Joe. Bust out in the middle of a sermon. Sorry, man. Can I try out for the worship team? No? Okay, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to read in the NLT, the New Living Translation. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. He who began the work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished. Continue the work. We are not done. No one in here is done. We know that we're not done. We're a project for God, but He's going to continue the job. He's going to continue the job until it is finished. We serve a God that doesn't leave us halfway. We serve a God that is not in it. He's not going to get us started and then not finish it. We serve a God who is going to be faithful to complete the work until it is finished on the day that He returns to take us into glory. Amen? Guys, this is a God. Oh my gosh, we're serving a God that loves us so. Sorry. I don't even know where that came. We serve a God. Oh man. Let's give it up for Jesus. Because we serve a God that doesn't care where you came from. We serve a God that doesn't care your background. We serve a God that doesn't care your race, your height, your weight, your prettiness or ugliness. No one's ugly. We serve a God that doesn't care about anything like that. We serve a God that loves you and that is going to be faithful to complete what He starts. Now, see, the word, I looked up what it, he's calling by the work. Because what's the work? What do you mean the work? The work is our salvation. A commentary was talking about that the work he's referring to here, that he's going to finish until he gets here, is our salvation. He wants to make sure that once you get saved, you're going to work on your salvation until we get here. Because we know that the Bible says that we have to work on our salvation daily, because it's not easy. It's not easy to get up and do the right thing. Anyone can attest to that? Sometimes the bad decision is sometimes even more fun. The bad decision can feel better at the time. The bad decision seems more logical. The bad decision can seem like it's a better thing for our life, but it's not. So we have to work at our salvation, but God, who's gonna be there, who's gonna empower you to do it, and who's gonna see it through until it gets done, amen? And that's talking about your salvation so that when he comes, you are not left here. This is when he comes, you are gonna go be with Jesus, amen? Guys, see, there's the reference to clay. Now, there's another song, I'm not gonna sing it, but talking about you are the potter, we are the clay type thing. Now, the Bible talks about God's in referring to God as a potter and us being clay. Clay is moldable, right? You can mold clay. You can shape. Anyone take ceramics class in high school? I took ceramics class. It was a fun class. And so you play with the clay and you make, we made birdhouses and we made little pots and I got to spin on the wheel and stuff like that. That was fun. So clay is just, it's moldable. You know, something like a rock is hard. But when a rock falls, or when a rock goes through something hard, it breaks, or it crumbles. You know when you see little big rocks? We were driving somewhere, Angelina and I, the other day, and she's like, how do you think that rock got there? It was just like this huge, massive rock, probably would have taken up half this stage, just by itself on the side of the road. And I'm just assuming it had to have broken off of something bigger, right? It had to be a piece of a mountain that rolled and fell off. See, a rock, something hard is going to break and crumble. Guys, if we're like a rock in our life, if we want to be hard, if we want to have hard skin, when you go through something rough, you're going to break, you're going to crumble. See, but clay is moldable. Clay is flexible. And God is the potter. So let's just let God be the potter in our lives. Let's be clay. Let's not be so hard that we just think, you know, and the problem, sometimes it's not even our fault because we're hardened by our situation. Right, we can say our life made us need to be hard. That's the only way I can survive because I had to be hard because I couldn't be hurt anymore. So this is how I had to be because I had so many disappointments in my life. I've failed too many things. I've had too many shortcomings. So I'm just going to stay here in my life. All the goals that I set when I was 18, when I was in high school, I failed them all. So here I am feeling older and it's supposed to be my formative years. You even said it right now. My foundation is messed up. My foundation is messed up. So I'm just going to live out the rest of my life like this. Guys, why would we do something like that? It is not too late. It is not too late. Amen? Let's give God a round of applause. Thank you, Jesus. If I could tonight, guys, if you guys would allow me, we're just about to finish up, but I want to do something really quickly. I want to pray. Can I do that? Not because I'm holy and my hands or my words or my prayer is magic or anything like that, or I think so highly of that. But because we serve an awesome God. An awesome God who, you know, just takes our basic faith just to know that God is good. And so I want to pray with, for those people tonight who you know maybe you're not where you're at in your life where you want it to be. You've set goals that just haven't worked out for you for whatever reason. There's been some hardships that have happened in your life. Or things just don't make sense to you. But you want God to come in. And you want to know that you're not alone. And you want to know that you're empowered. And you want to know that God's going to see it through and he's going to finish what he starts in your life. I want to pray with you guys. And I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to people who have been coming to church. Because it doesn't matter how long you come to church, how many weeks you sit and shift, or how involved you even are. We can be discouraged too, man. I'm talking to myself. I can get discouraged. I can feel like maybe the goals that I wanted to do, I'm just not there. God, why am I not there? Show me how to get there. That's what I want to pray tonight, guys. I just want to pray for you guys who wants to do that. So I just want you to raise your hand. If that's you tonight in your place, that you're just feeling like, man, I just want a touch from God. I just want to touch to God because I'm not where I'm at or I'm not where I need to be and I just want something different. If you guys could just raise your hands in this place. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. See your hands, guys. And we're just going to pray, guys, as your hands continue to lift up. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you that you are able to heal, Father God. I thank you that you are able to restore, Father God. I thank you that you are able, Lord God, to give us vision, to give us a plan, Father God, to speak to us and to empower us, Father God. You see us here, Father God. If we are your people, our hands are raised to you, Father God. And we just need a touch from you in our life. We need a change in our life. We need a plan for our life, God. We need direction, Jesus. We need favor, Lord God, and we request it in Jesus' name, Father God. We thank you that your word says, Lord God, that if we ask it in your name, it shall be done, Father God. And we thank you that we have believed it and that we receive it in Jesus' name, Father God. So we pray that we do not leave this place the same, Father God, that we will mark this date, September 7th, 2012, as the date, Lord God, that my life changed, Father God, as the date that something shifted in my life, as the date that something big began, Father God, that we do not leave this place the same, that we leave encouraged, that we leave with hope, that we leave with a plan. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor, let's look. Pastor Joe? Or Sylvia's going to come up and do announcements, right?